Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. Hella dope.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to Black on Black on Black. You're listening with here with D Fantastic and
DJ Queen. Why, bro?
Ding. We're with them.
I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to.
Oh my god! Turn on my son. It's too hot.
What do you mean? Turn it down. It's not the volume thing's not going. Okay. It's not even going into the red.
Okay, well, then I need to turn my headphones down. Yeah, anyways, whatever. Introduce our shit while I do that.
All right. Welcome in, everyone. This is Black on Black on Black. This show happens every Monday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. This show's about a Bay Area native, you, and a transfer from the South. Explore the real San Francisco Bay Area, finding scenes, creating memes, and being obscene. Listen to the show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and to learn about the local artists and individuals who make it all happen.
So in case y'all niggas don't know, this weekend is Juneteenth.
Woo!
And as I hope that everyone is fucking listening to the show knows what the fuck Juneteenth is. But if you don't know what it is, Juneteenth is basically... It's pronounced Juneteenth because it's a combination of June and 19th. It is the actual end of slavery, like the day that slavery actually ended. Because if y'all don't know about this, they had us work in the fields in Texas literally up until 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation.
Some real
so
Texas shit.
It wasn't until the Union Army showed up in Galveston, Texas on June 19th, 1865. And forced everyone in Texas to free the slaves. So that is the actual end of slavery.
Does the Juneteenth event in first of all, is there a Juneteenth event that happens in Galveston?
Hell yeah. Well, before
I hope it goes hard in the paint.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So before Juneteenth became a national holiday as a Texan, we had been celebrating that shit for fucking years. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even though they wouldn't let us out for school and shit, like, it was like, oh yeah, Juneteenth weekend, we're doing this, like, we're talking about shit, like, we're doing that. So, yeah, it goes crazy for Texas for Juneteenth. It has been like that for a while.
But in Galveston, do they go a little bit harder?
Yeah, but Galveston is weird. Galveston is like the less trashy version of Corpus Christi.
Oh.
Yeah. Corpus Christi is just meth town in
what
Texas.
A comparison.
Yeah. And so don't believe the name. It's not gorgeous. And so Galveston is a little better, but it is there's still hella white people out there.
But are they galvanized?
That's the question. Are they galvanized? So I mean, yeah, like there's definitely gonna be fireworks. Like people are gonna be throwing their own parties, like, and it's actually crawfish season too. So yeah, it's going down. Yeah, it's going down. It's going down.
I want to do that for my birthday so bad.
Actually, I tried a good crawfish place a while ago. It's in San Jose, though.
It's too much. I know a place that'll overnight them to you. It's from Louisiana.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's
really?
A student. He has his own YouTube channel, and he has like a crawfish farm.
In California, in the Bay?
No, from Louisiana. He overnights them to you, but he has like a farm, so you get them live.
You can actually bring that shit.
He will send you alligator.
Oh, nice. I love alligator.
I love alligator.
Alligator's good.
Alligator tastes hella good.
I need to learn how to boil crawfish. My dad is fucking excellent.
Babe, YouTube is your best friend. It's all over.
I know, but I want my dad's recipe.
I'm
no.
I'm not
ancestral
doing all that.
Shit.
I think
too much work.
It's not
ancestral.
You're literally just pouring shit into.
No, she's talking about the actual eating of crawfish. Whatever. We don't have time for this.
Oh, bye.
It's
so much work for nothing.
Wiggity, wiggity, wiggity. Wow.
Yeah. Give me everything else. Give me the crab, the shrimp, everything else.
But crawfish, the flavor.
The
alone
is
amazing.
More,
the crab is actually way more work.
Way more work.
I got Dungeness crab the other day, and I was fighting for my fucking life.
But the payoff is better.
Is it?
It is.
No, it's not.
It's more.
Not really.
It's more meat.
Hardly.
I don't even like to work for my chicken wings. I do not do flats.
And yet here you are cracking crawfish.
Yes, because it's just that good.
Anyways, who are you listening to right now? It's one of our very good friends and lovely, most amazing people, Afropup. Afropup, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm an orange moon. I'm an orange moon.
Yes.
Reflecting the light of my sun.
It's Arthur Jackson here with you today. Tuesday at 5th, if I'm being specific.
Yes.
You also know me as Faster Kill Faster, your beautiful faggy DJ here in the city.
Yes.
So come out and shake your ass with me.
Shake.
Thank
or
you.
Come out and shake ass on me. I'm really happy for either.
Okay.
Just make sure it's fat and it's hairy.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Fuzzy peach.
Bye.
Fuzzy
Nobody
peach.
Was talking to you. That's okay.
Okay, I got you except for the hairy part.
Not for you, babes. Not for you.
Will you fully transform into a gay man? I got you.
Okay, exactly.
Because I feel like you're only in your first.
I'm in my first period.
You haven't evolved yet. You're still,
I haven't evolved.
You're still peachy.
My egg hasn't cracked. My egg hasn't cracked. Is what? Yeah.
Peachy.
Pikachu, and then I mean Raichu is when you're ready.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. I will let you know.
The journey.
As the shell thins. Anyway, so we're talking about.
Yes, we're talking about fat, hairy asses. Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about Juneteenth, because so we're going to highlight some events going on. So there's actually Juneteenth at the museum, the Oakland Museum of California. That's happening from 11 to 4 p.m. So this is OMCA and Black Freedom Fund are presenting Juneteenth at the museum, a vibrant full-day celebration of Black culture, creativity, and community. You can expect dynamic campus with live performances, hella DJs, some really cool, basically boundary-pushing artists, some amazing food, obviously, from Black chefs and vendors, a lot of hands-on activities, and honestly, this is kind of an all-ages thing, which is really great. So, between the live music and soul line dancing and fan-making, there's going to be a lot of, like, community art projects that are going to bring this whole thing together. So, this is going to be across the whole OMCA campus, so it's massive. It's inside, outside. And this is also going to feature the OMCA's latest special exhibition, Mildred Howard, Poetics of Memory, alongside special programming that is inviting guests to engage with Black memory, identity, and artistic expression in new ways. So it's $10, all-inclusive festival, and gallery access. So
I
that's
if that includes the food. Probably.
Okay. No. Absolutely not. I don't.
It wouldn't be Juneteenth without food. There's got to be a cookout of some sort.
Exactly.
Yeah, $10.
Where my hot dog at?
The street. The other main Juneteenth activity is Juneteenth by Hella Creative. Now, that's going to be at Prescott Market West in Market in West Oakland, 1620 18th Street in Oakland. The tickets, however, are ranging from $0 to $133.
Whoa, what's up with that $100? That better have food with
it. I think it's if you're Black, it's free sort of thing. It's on Eventbrite. I don't know what the fuck. I literally was like a zero to $133. I have no idea.
That's okay.
Oh, there's also VIP. So anyways, part of this festival includes the Jubilee Stage, which is a lineup of exceptional DJs that are spinning R&B, hip-hop, Afro beats, and cookout classics. I wish.
Yeah.
There's Jubilee.
I know. DJ Black Woman is going to be there.
Yeah. Awesome. Then there's the Cookout, which is a curated selection of Black-owned food vendors. There's the Yard, which is going to be a space to lounge, dance, connect, and kick it. Then there's Hella VIP, which is a 21 and up space, which is going to be an elevated quote-unquote experience with dedicated spaces and curated offerings.
Alcohol.
Hella Games, which will be spades, dominoes, and other lawn games. And Hella Kids, which is a curated programming for kids to learn, play, and explore.
That's cute.
So that's the other Juneteenth event. Upcoming event as well, we want to talk about our homie Kai Kai B. Michaels, which is performing on Juneteenth at the day before Juneteenth, so June 18th, at the Monster Show Broadway night at the Edge. That's starting at 10 p.m. And the Edge is in the Castro at 4149 18th Street in San Francisco. Then Kai Kai is also performing on Juneteenth for an event called Spice Cabaret at the White Horse Inn, and that starts at 7. If y'all don't know this, the White Horse Inn is the oldest continuously operating gay bar in the U.S. And fun fact, it officially opened in 1933, which is rumored to have operated as a gay speakeasy since before the end of Prohibition. And the White Horse is at 6551 Telegraph Avenue. So, yeah.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, the White Horse? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only been there a couple of times now.
I almost got, like, shot right before I went in there, too.
Excuse me? How? What? Excuse me? Please explain.
I was sitting in the car with this dude, and I think we had just left where we were about to go in. And there were these two people sitting outside. The woman had said something to me, And I responded, you know me, I'm kind of flirty. And I said something, and this dude was not having it. And he starts to pull the gun. And the dude who was driving, clearly a white dude, took forever to drive off. And I said, drive.
What do you mean?
Go. He was like, I don't know.
Trying to process? You don't need to process. Just drive.
I said, drive.
A black person is telling you to drive.
Go. Don't ask questions. Go.
He was probably like, why? Where are we going?
I was like, why are you fucking, like, what?
Go, get out of the area. That's crazy.
Because it was like, I was on the passenger seat, and it was on the sidewalk where I was. I was like, why aren't you pulling?
See, and this is where spitting game almost gets you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, White Allies. You got to pull. You got to get it together.
Get it together.
Please do better.
It wasn't even a cop. Like, it was just like, come on, dude. It wasn't
even a cop.
Please, do something.
Go.
Exhaust.
Wait, was this at the White Horse or was so?
It was like right across the street.
Damn.
Yeah. We had just had like had a beautiful afternoon fucking. It was great.
Nice.
And then I would drive this car to go do something. I think we're about to go in, and this woman said something to me. I flirted back. He needed to pull off. He didn't.
Now, why is she getting y'all caught up like that, knowing that her nigga is crazy?
I don't know.
I'm also like, look at me, dude. I spell out S-A-G-G-O-T. Why are you coming at me like that?
Ain't nothing gonna happen here. We would just have it fun, maybe.
Right. Please don't.
No, it really don't matter. Like, it really don't be matter.
Not at all.
They don't care.
Not at all.
You could have had a dick in your mouth right there. And it still would have been a problem. Yeah. Still would have been a problem.
Literally.
Men are unhinged. And speaking of continuation events, thank you, my love. As a continuation of our events, your DJ name is
Faster Kill Faster.
Faster Kill Faster is actually spinning this Juneteenth as well at an event called Booty Juice Happy Hours.
This is going to be Booty Juice being my DJ mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is going on from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Teeth Bar, 2323 Mission Street. So, yeah, it's a lot of shit going on Juneteenth. Like, be there.
There might be an update to that time. They were texting me today and they said 4 to 8. So,
okay.
If you're going to come through a little bit earlier, come see us.
Yeah. When are you going to be on? You know?
I don't know yet.
Fair. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're working on posters right now. I literally just sent them photos.
Okay. Nice. Make sure to let us know when.
Yeah, because we will be there, without a doubt.
Yes.
And then, black dates. You know, we often have a shit ton of news, but we want to talk about a lot with this show. And so, we're just going to get to one, and this is actually pertaining to the Juneteenth event. So, there has been a large controversy around the OMCA Juneteenth event versus Hella Creative. So, just a little bit of background. So, Hella Creative was founded in March of 2020, and it is by Bay Area creatives who are looking to socialize, collaborate, develop new ideas, and just basically navigate the new timeline that we're in. Now, before Juneteenth was a holiday, in 2020, Hella Creative got 800 companies around the U.S. to recognize that it should be a holiday, and they've been credited for actually driving the change to make it into a national holiday, which is huge. So that hashtag Hella Juneteenth campaign on social media was theirs.
Oh.
In 2024, so following the recognition of it, 2024, they started the event, a Juneteenth event with the OMCA. And the OMCA said, cool, like, we're going to partner with Hella Creative, but we're not a producer. So y'all just kind of like take the reins and go with it, right? Now, 2 years later, OMCA basically wanted to change the structure of it, and Hella Creative wanted to keep it as authentic to their vision as possible. So they amicably decided to split, right? Like, Hella Creative is going to do their own thing. OMCA is going to do theirs, right? However, OMCA created a flyer that mimicked the last year's flyer that was created by a black artist that was part of Hella Creative.
Was it using AI to do it?
I don't know, but like, it's extremely similar, and the black artist was called Junebug. So they basically took Junebug's piece and made it into their
own. I've heard of Junebug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so on top of that, OMCA created a reel highlighting last year's thing to promote this year, but the reel was also video captured by guess what? Another hella creative individual.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which who is also black. And so they've been using this stuff to promote their event this weekend. They've also booked the exact same vendors and artists from their partnership with Hella Creative. That lastly, OMCA is using the exact same copy. So in general, people are very confused about, or they don't understand that this is the first year that OMCA is doing something that is not with Hella Creative. So everyone's just jumping in and going to this event without realizing Hella Creative is not only split from them, but doing their own thing.
Yeah.
So that is...
Most people are thinking that the event that's happening at the Prescott Market
is
that one is Hella Creative. They're thinking that Oakland canceled theirs, but it's just that they have amicably split and they're doing two separate events on the same day at the same time.
No,
but OMCA is just using a lot of the content. This is where I'm like, if you are taking your event or specialty to another place, I think there needs to be something in the contract that says that they are not going to take your intellectual property.
Yeah.
And you have sole rights to all of the content that was generated. Like, I think you need to sign that before you start producing events in a place. It's just hard because you never know something's really going to take off.
Yes. Of course.
And so pressing them to sign something can kind of deter even
they'll be hesitant to start the partnership, and you're like, fuck, like, I'd rather just kind of get this off the ground and get my name recognized, all that. But then it's stuff like this where it can bite you in the ass.
Yeah. Or if it says, like, you can't use our intellectual property without our permission. Yeah. So that would be like, it's still like, it's not saying that, like, if there is ever a split, you have nothing.
Yeah.
But you do get access to it if we come to an agreement, or we can come up with something that's fair.
Like, there should be an ask for it. And I think a lot of people were rightfully pointing out that Hella Creative was not attributed to any of this content. Like,
that's the main issue.
Tag Hella Creative. They didn't put any sort of copyright thing on it that says, like, this came from Hella Creative. Nothing would have told you that any of that was something intellectual property that came from them.
Right.
And I've been seeing really thoughtful call in of the Oakland Museum. And people acknowledging that, look, Oakland Museum makes a lot of great content. Like, they oftentimes get it right. They've been a great institution for the community. We support Oakland Museum. They just didn't get it right in this instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're not even deterring people or telling people not to go to the Juneteenth event. But what they want is just some...
Not citing their sources.
Yeah, they're not saying... They want some accountability.
Yeah.
You know? And they want one creative said it really right. Like, there's enough joy and celebration to go around.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be 100%. Go to one or the other, but let's all just make sure that we are uplifting each other's work respectfully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because here's my thing. As someone who has worked in the corporate world, has made partnerships with campaigns or whatever, and then, you know, ended partnerships or whatever, I mean, one of the best things you can do at the end of a partnership in order to even foster a deeper connection is literally being like, oh, something is going right in my direction. Let me tell you about this partner that I work with. Let me tell you about whatever.
Yeah.
That's all OMCA kind of had to do to not, like, you know, to not be in the situation, right? And at the same time, like, if OMCA would have been like, you know what, Hella Creative helped us do this thing, we've been using them for other sorts of opportunities, like, there's other ways to do that, and then OMCA could have just asked Hella Creative, hey, we don't have a lot of content from last year, can we use yours, and tag them. Like, there are so many other ways to go about this, and honestly, this just lets me know that there's not enough black people on staff.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
The Oakland Museum not having enough black people. Because I don't know how we would not how this would not happen any other way, essentially, you know.
I mean, it could, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they did have black people on staff who made this call, because it's not like you see this happen in Oakland.
Sure.
Where there are absolutely black people involved in screwing over other black people.
Oh yeah.
And it's more of like a conversation for some reason just wasn't thought to be had.
Or, and we can get away from speculating because we just don't know, or there were people who were like, hey, we probably should talk about this. We should be supportive. And then the higher-ups are like,
nah.
We don't want to draw away any other attention. Nah. Hella Creative's doing their own thing. We don't want to take away any, you know, we want to make sure everyone comes to our thing.
I
can see that too, but this is the backlash. So, like, the backlash is deserved, but, Yeah, so frustrating. I mean, yeah, it's frustrating.
Very interesting. I'm definitely going to do a deep dive on the Oakland Museum staff now.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder if there's, like, been some turnover, what's happening, you know? Because, again, they're just so good at their programming, especially around Black history, Black culture. They have an event every Friday, but, like, it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're about to get into our first set of music, but I've got a good would you rather. Okay, so would you rather never be able to go to a rave ever again? Ever. Without a doubt, you will never be able to go again. Or every single rave you go to for the rest of your life, you're the only Black person.
Oh, damn. I will take the last one. No, because look, people who go to raves are sick.
They're mostly pretty great.
They're pretty cool, and they will have great drugs.
Yeah.
So I would go. I don't mind being the only Black person in that crowd, because I will always also be treated like king.
Yeah.
Does this mean that Black people are just not going to raves, or they're just not going to the raves?
For whatever reason,
you're not getting invited to those raves. Oh, did we do wrong?
Oh God, that's actually worse.
Damn.
Like, you can never, like, they're literally gonna, like, get out of here. Oh, that's bad for reputation.
That's horrible.
That's yeah.
That's get out.
That's the invite.
Yeah, that's bad. I mean, I'm probably gonna keep going to raves. I'll never be able to go to rave with my brother again.
Or maybe it means,
oh my God,
maybe it means we're not finding each other on the dance floor. It means we're not finding each other on the dance floor. That could be it too.
No, and I love finding other Black people.
Yes, it's always amazing. It's like my favorite.
We know it in our spirits. They're in the room with me. They're here.
The link up, the dance up. Like,
I'm still gonna go. I think the experience will not hold the same for me. You know, because did I just make a rave family of white people? Where are these people coming from?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Where do my people go?
Right. because the implication then, the implication is, Arthur, is like, you pissed me off, I guess, right? Because I'm never going with you. And you're never going with me.
No.
What happened?
I don't know.
Wait, do I stink? What is that?
Is there a reason? Like, maybe you only smell to Black people and they smell you in the line. They're like,
maybe.
Oh my God.
Somebody gave us the wrong drug.
And showed up here again.
Again, stinking.
God damn it. God. We have nothing around here.
Yeah.
Somebody gave us, like, a color-changing drug. I took these drugs and now I can't see that I'm surrounded by Black people, but I am. So I just trust.
Maybe they just disappear.
You know what you're going to be stuck at? You're going to be stuck at with the rave, with the person came up to you and been like, oh, my great great grandmother was Black. That's who you're gonna be stuck with.
Oh God.
Do you know anybody else who raves like us in our community?
Oh yeah, plenty. Yeah.
But I don't go with them.
You would start. It would be like Deepa, Eva, like, I'm just naming people online. Shout out.
Yeah.
And I've been to some. I mean, I think what's going to happen is you're going to go to raves, but you are also
going to meet other people of color.
There's going to be Latino people.
Like, that will help me. That will help me.
A lot of Asian people. Like, you're going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are going to enjoy, and they be going. You see a line of like 11 of them walking.
I know. And
one rave dad with like 11 women behind, just hanging on for dear life.
I've noticed there are a lot of really great Asian rave dads.
Oh my god!
Yes,
they're my favorite.
I don't know where they come from, but I'm like, you know what? I love that
they are just here to like take care.
Yeah,
and I do think that is like a big thing within a lot of Asian cultures, though, is that like they do. There is a big like acts of service and taking care of people, especially elders in general.
So it could be that.
Yeah, but okay. I love seeing them come through.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking it. I do think I will suffer the loss of not being around Black people. I will always be sad about that.
This is going to make me make a Black totem.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And either just say Black man here or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll make like I don't know. I wish I could make up like a pot of collard greens or something.
Yeah. Oh, hilarious. Yes.
Black
yes.
pole here.
Yeah.
It's just you.
Black pole.
Yeah.
Ready to.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Okay. So we all agreed. We're still going.
Yeah. I'm just like,
you look so disappointed in yourself.
Because part of it, not only am I never going there with y'all, it means I will never go with my brother ever again.
If your brother's listening to this, he's gonna be like, no, we're just not gonna rave it.
That's the saddest thing. That's the saddest thing.
This also means that we need to start a rave.
A blackie for blackie
boys? Yeah, call the cookout.
Yeah, and just not call it a rave. So we can go.
Oh, well, yeah, we could probably get away with that for 2 years. Yeah. After that, people are gonna find out. Yeah. People are gonna find out.
Well, then we could change the name to Rave Out.
Well, it's funny because last time I was in San Diego, I was talking to my brother who was turning into a DJ. Well, actually, is a baby DJ.
What's his name?
Eddie Francois.
No, the DJ name.
That is the DJ name.
So he's using his name?
No. That's a
Eddie Francois.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
That is a crazy name. It sounds like a legitimate name.
It does.
It's a combination of my mom and dad's middle names.
Oh.
So my dad's middle name is Edward. My mom's middle name is Francois, which is also her maiden name.
Also, nothing against our DJs who use their actual name. I just really love the creativity of having something different.
Yeah.
Like, I love
so it is cool because you would think that that's his name, but it's not. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Francois in the building.
I think last time we were talking about it, because I've been, next year, I'll literally have been raving for half of my life. Yeah. And I was like, why don't I fucking start a rave? I've been doing it for so long.
Why don't I rave?
I will do it. I know how to do it. I know what people want. I know how to set it up. Like,
is there a cornfield nearby? Because I've always wanted to run one in a cornfield.
Yeah.
I don't know about no cornfield. Where the closest Fairfield. One? Do we grow corn here? In the Bay?
Yes.
In the Bay?
Yes.
Yes. I think we have a better chance in a vineyard somewhere.
But that means
we gotta know white people.
Yeah, vineyards.
Wait,
are great.
Hannah's people.
Yes.
The Gallaghers.
they have that vineyard out there, right?
I think Willow.
Who knows that? Who knows those people?
I think they're the right people to start. The Baths.
The Sutra Baths. The Sutra Baths Cave. Oh. I've been trying to plan a rave there for my birthday.
Oh.
The Sutra Baths Cave. It'll be like, we'll get shut down at some point.
Yeah,
but
you will.
We could still do it.
You know who else does stuff like this? Mazin with a Holistic Underground. He does stuff.
No, he
to,
yeah.
Yeah, so he would be a good person to talk to.
I don't know how to describe it. But
yo,
like,
the white people language that is happening without talking right now.
I know. My face is facing. Sometimes I get weird vibes with Mazin.
Okay, let's.
Let's dive into some music. Because we're about to. We're completely off track. It's very black on black on black right now.
So today we will be talking about the roots of house music. We're gonna touch on a little bit of the precursor to that, disco, but we're just gonna walk through the roots of house music and acknowledging the erasure that has happened, which is that house music was started by queer black and brown people in Chicago.
Yes.
Not across
and
the season.
And techno.
Yeah. And so we're gonna
same area.
We're gonna talk about and honor those roots, name the names that were there, the places that were involved. And so our playlist today provided by
Faster Kill Faster.
Yes. So we're gonna jump right into it. I hope you all enjoy.
What's going on?
Your mama's going.
My mama's listening, right?
Hi.
Exactly. No, this is why you don't make her any fucking gumbo anymore, Mom.
Hey.
We have nothing to do with that.
Yeah. You can make me an Arthur gumbo, but
that's
she talks
crazy.
Mad shit. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wait, what?
I know. She always said your mama all the time. I'm like, yeah, I'm letting my mom know for every moment. You get nothing.
I don't need this type. Hold on.
What's wrong with
you? Talk about a thing.
Okay. Well, speaking of mothers, Father's Day is happening on
Sunday. We said nothing about Father's Day.
I plan to be sucking dick that day.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Giving
that's
daddy
fair.
A lot of love.
Yeah.
Daddy is hopefully.
You know what? Hell yeah.
And then on that note, we're jumping into Rough by Faith.
There we go.
Yeah. as we dance to a beat that seems out of time, to the one you feel in the metronome of your mind. Does it offend you that our rhythm looks strange, or causes your thinking to be rearranged? Could it be that you would understand this beat to which we dance more clearly had you been given a chance? So as you struggle to find the feel with your feet, ask yourself, can you dance to my beat?
welcome back.
I said it.
This is Black on Black on Black, and you are here with
DeFantastic. Oh, that's me. Turn down.
Oh, sorry.
You're okay.
I was trying to find me.
Okay, you're okay.
DJ Queen.
Everybody's like. Okay, and then our wonderful guest, Killstar.
You fucked that up. That was beautiful. Faster, kill faster, ladies and gentlemen.
Faster, kill faster.
Your orange moon is here in the house.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know about this one.
I'm so distracted. Yeah, but no, we're here. Some of us are queer, and we're proud of it. So as we were talking about earlier, what we really want to dive into, because our sweet guest here is a amazing DJ in the Bay Area, we kind of want to talk about like the history of LGBTQIA+ in regards to house music, because like we're also big fans of house. He spins house, like it's very, very important. And so yeah, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I think especially since it being Juneteenth week, being Pride month, that it feels really important to highlight Black queer creativity.
Yes.
And we're all of us here are really big fans of house rave music. I like disco. I like what's going on now with disco music too.
I've been learning a lot more about old disco because of Dad, which is Dudes in Disco. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Disco collective here in the city. And been going back and learning how to spin disco, because the original disco songs are not quantized. Quantized is when like the beats are like, how do I say this? They all it matches on on
the progression.
On the progression and on the beat. So that's how you can match. Beat match two songs and they'll stay.
Yes, because they're all sort
because
of like
they're,
that.
They're quantized.
Yeah,
because I think it was like back in either the late 90s or early 2000s, all music was moved to being quantized, where because they're using machines too.
Yeah,
but original disco is all human hands.
Yeah,
so it drifts.
Yeah,
so you can have one song that's quantized, and then have a disco song from the 70s or the 80s, and it will drift because humans are not mechanic, and you get tired, or you want to do a little creative thing.
Yeah,
and so you have to like, I'll be playing one, and if I have the BPM on 128, it will go from 128 to 123 to 125 to 123 to 126. It went back to 128. You just have to like keep turning the wheel.
It's probably a lot like salsa, like old school salsa, because all that's done with with an orchestra and by hand, and it swings, but like you can definitely tell that it's being done by hand because it doesn't sound mechanic, and it doesn't all have the same exact sound.
Right,
exactly.
Like you can hear that someone is hitting the drum just slightly different at times. Mm-hmm. This really, and so since we are already diving into disco, let's dive into the roots of house.
Yeah.
So today, house music is a global phenomenon, right? Filling clubs in Berlin, parties in Sao Paulo, and playlists on every streaming platform. But its roots go far deeper than bass lines and BPMs. House music was born in Chicago's queer Black underground.
Yes.
It was the sound of survival, resistance, and ultimately community. Before it filled festivals and fashion ads, house music was the sound of queer, Black, and Latin communities finding joy and freedom. And how it started, actually, we need to talk about disco first, right? Mm-hmm. So disco hit the mainstream in the 70s. Marginalized communities found solace on the dance floors, and the music spread like wildfire from the charts to the silver screen, particularly after the premiere of Saturday Night Fever. Yeah. If you're struggling, think of Saturday Night Fever. It's think of what is
early
it,
John Travolta?
John Travolta in that white suit.
That white suit on that light dance floor that we all want to dance on.
Yeah,
which I did in Ireland.
What?
When we were in Ireland, George's had one.
Holy, what the hell? Happened?
Yeah,
George's. Yo, we had a time.
By the way, I've been trying to get us all to go back to Ireland.
I want to go so bad. Let's do it.
Because I wasn't able to like go out with y'all.
No,
like,
you were stressed.
Fucking dying. And then my honeymoon started right after. It's like, we didn't get to go.
We should, though. You know, Dublin was the first time I got drive-by faggoted, and I literally tried to say, oh my God, thank you for seeing me.
What the hell?
Oh my God. I was really very happy because I was like, oh my God, I got that, like, yeah. Like right
like, past. Oh, like, no. We were there, like, right during Pride. It was a time.
No, really.
It was a Pride. It was crazy.
It was crazy.
Me and Leah got there a little bit early to go to Pride We had a great time.
Yeah. Because it was, like, the end of Pride because my actual wedding date was on the 1st.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, of July 1st. So, yeah.
I would be totally down to go back.
No, I'm ready to go back.
That's my favorite part of that. And I went to so many different places that you're
Yeah, I'm right. I mean, I go pretty frequently because, you know, my husband's family is from there. But frequently needs to happen soon. I want to go back with, like, my friends.
Yeah. I would be so down for a friend trip to Ireland.
Y'all wouldn't want to go in the winter, huh?
No, I would.
Does it not snow?
It doesn't snow. I want to end in Paris on Christmas.
Oh, I mean,
and then stay until New Year's. I've been dying to do.
Well, do you want to do the opposite? Like, do you want to do? Because I this year actually, hold on, we need to talk about this offline.
Okay,
focus. I'm so sorry, y'all. We love each other a lot,
and we need more.
Okay, here we go. Focus.
So disco overtook rock as the predominant genre in the cultural zeitgeist. Rock was never seen from again. And as a result, the straight white male demographic who made up the majority of the rock listeners began to rise in revolt.
Uh-huh.
So by 1979, disco would meet fierce opposition in the now infamous Disco Demolition Night. I'm going to play a clip where they're talking about this event, but I was doing research. This is insane.
Yeah.
So a Major League Baseball promotional event that incentivized disgruntled listeners of anti-disc jockey
to bring
Steve
their music
Dalton
and burn it.
To bring disco LPs to
they
to
have
be
videos of this.
Oh yeah, I watched a video to be publicly destroyed by expulsion and mass burning.
Yeah.
Crazy. Tens of thousands of rioters attended, hurling discs from the stands. And so I'm going to play a short clip.
And you can hear, like, it's a newscaster talking about it.
50,000 people, the largest crowd of the season, showed up at Chicago's Comiskey Park for the twi-night doubleheader between the White Sox and the Detroit Tigers. 15,000 others had to be turned away. Many had come for Disco Demolition Night, a promotional gimmick. Between games, as planned, a huge box containing thousands of disco records was blown up. The rest was unplanned. Fans stormed out onto the field in the thousands. Disco records were hurled like frisbees. Bonfires were set. Bottles were thrown. The batting cage was torn down and destroyed. Fistfights broke out. White Sox players had to be locked in their clubhouse for their own protection. The melee lasted an hour and a half and resulted in 39 arrests and a few minor injuries. The baseball fans missed the second game. It was canceled. The White Sox lost it. It was forfeited to Detroit.
Crazy.
They lost to Detroit.
They forfeited the game because they couldn't start playing.
The fire, it was just too intense. They couldn't get the fans together as bad.
And since the White Sox decided to host that shit, they forfeited that goddamn game.
They forfeited to the birthplace of like hot fucking jazz and a ton of fucking beautiful black music.
Yep.
Ain't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that so funny? Your spell worked backwards, bitch.
Yeah. As it normally does. While the event is reported as a revolt against disco, being that disco community was largely built of black, Latino, and queer people, the burning was a direct attack at that community that built the genre. Some attendees even recall that of the LTs brought to be destroyed, some weren't even disco. They were just black music.
Of course.
Could you imagine being so pissed while all these people, including white people, are at Studio 54 shaking their ass?
Jamming.
You got a white woman on a white horse wearing nothing but hair long enough to reach her toes, walking through there like Lady Gaga fucking diva.
Yeah.
And Andy Warhol and Michael Jackson and Diana Ross are all in the building sniffing coke, shaking their fucking asses. And then you have Donna Summer up there moaning for 15 minutes. While you are out there not even able to see the baseball game that you paid money to get tickets for and took your children to, and still they forfeited the game. Yes. Fuck
see,
you.
Seeing white people show their whole ass. Like, what is happening?
White people...
Just go do some lines with Diana.
White people... y'all, white people, y'all's unfettered rage, you have to focus on something else. You have to. What are y'all doing? I don't have the energy to be that angry.
We're not talking about the allies. We're talking about the non-allies.
We know. We know.
We know.
Oh, they know. Y'all, if you listen to Black on Black on Black, you know who the fuck we're talking about.
Okay, period, period.
You know what it is.
You know,
like, what it is.
If you feel upset by that statement, then you probably not an ally.
or in the process of rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you could be there. You could be there.
But go on. From the ashes of the disco pyre, something new was about to emerge as Nile Rodgers, legendary guitarist and co-founder of disco brand Chic, recalls when house came in, they had that thing that seemed to have we seemed to have lost. We got caught up in the commerciality of it, but people, they don't really care how you make it. They just want it to move them. So disco did have a moment of just becoming extremely commercial, extremely
mainstream. Lasted a long time.
It lasted
too.
a really long time.
Like, I caught myself thinking, oh, whatever happened to disco? No, disco is still being made to this day, and it hasn't stopped.
No,
there are,
yeah.
Well, I mean, fucking Jessie Ware,
yeah.
Another a disco artist making fucking great music.
Yeah,
also
yeah.
Love me the Bee Gees, but I am super here.
That's kind of like the beginning of it, and we're gonna go into the rise of house, and like there's a lot to dive into, so I'm gonna kind of touch on some key moments. Mm-hmm. But in the late 70s, like Frankie Knuckles and Larry Levan, friends since childhood, they began going to clubs in New York, and then started doing the decks themselves. So like Levan began dominating the New York scene, and started at the Paradise Garage, holding like a decade long residency. This allowed for people. This prompted Knuckles to relocate to Chicago and make a name for himself there. So a club promoter opened a venue in Chicago. It was called the Warehouse, and that became the spot for Black and Latino music. And it was actually the only members only gay club. And so at the heart of it was DJ Knuckles, an openly gay Black man who was mixing disco, soul, gospel, and drum machine rhythms into a new sonic identity, right? His grooves and real edits and all of that basically created this communal euphoria. And that's where the term house music came from. Like, people wanted tapes with the music played at the house. Like, that's where the warehouse was, like, played at the warehouse, and that's where the tapes were from. And so, Frankie Knuckles recalls the first time he heard the name house to describe the music he was making, and it's a long quote, but basically he's like, you know, we play house music. That's the first time I heard of it. Well, I saw it. I asked what it was. He said, it's the music that you play down there at your club. It's like, excuse me? He's like, that's house music. And he's like, I didn't even realize that has a name. And that was the first time I really felt like I belonged in Chicago, that was part of the city. So the sense of belonging in the community has been integral to the formation of house music. And so obviously, you know, as time went on, there was a lot of concerns over the safety of the warehouse because it was, you know, it's an older style place. A lot of people there, their safety concerns, as we've seen with other raves. So it closed down, and Frankie Knuckles ended up taking the opportunity to become a club owner and open the Power Plant. There's other huge famous venues in Chicago during that time that kind of helped boost the beginning of house music. It was the Music Box, and that was where resident DJ Ron Hardy began pushing the boundaries of reel-to-reel edits and basically filling the dance floor with this world-renowned sound.
Mm-hmm. And then talking more about the impact of house, by the time the AIDS epidemic took hold in New York City, disco, dance, and house music were synonymous with the queer undertones they often tried to keep removed from mainstream. Dance music took a swift turn in popularity and would not reemerge until the acid house movement of the late 1980s with a reformed, albeit largely heterosexual, following. As dance subcultures continue to evolve throughout the 90s, through